Ready? Like to call together our meeting for Upper Trinity Groundwater Conservation District Board. We're meeting here in our office in Springtown, as well as Zoom. For those who are on Zoom who wish to speak on a topic on our agenda, if you'll hit the chat function and let Doug know for which topic, so when we get to it, we can call upon you. Director Lusk, would you call roll, please, sir?
Yes, sir. Justin Bradley
Here.
Jared Reynolds,
I'm here.
Bob Lusk here, Shannon Nave, Tracy Messler,
Here.
Mike Berkeley,
Here.
Don Micah,
Here.
Jason Flint.
He's absent. We do have a quorum. If everybody please stand and join me in the pledges of the flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state under God, one and indivisible. Show, we're starting the public hearings at 102. Receive any public comments, requests to contest, and general manager's report and recommendations regarding the following applications for permits, permit amendments, and/or requests for exceptions to the district's water well spacing or minimum tract size requirements. Item A, Forterra Pipe and Precast out of Decatur, operating permit system ID 114-W. Doug?
Sir, this is they're just east of Decatur on the south side of 380. They're manufacturing a concrete product. They've got an existing well on site, and they're looking to drill a new well. You can see the new well. They're looking for a somewhere between 17 and 30 gallons a minute. Proposed location meets all. Let me turn my laser on. Proposed location meets all district spacing requirements. Here's the other existing well. It falls within that radius, but it's a shallow well, and they're proposing a deep well, so it meets the vertical offset requirements. So it meets all spacing requirements. The addition of that second well, the second well itself is over 17, so it would require a permit. Both wells will be used for the project, so they'll both be on the permit. They've, based on district rules, the way we describe our permit allocation, based on their ownership of 9.5 acres, average aquifer thickness is 677 feet. The depth of the deepest well is 650. So the use the 650 multiplied by a factor of 500 and comes out with 3,114,200 gallons per year, for their max allocation. That is the volume they're requesting. That request is based on their production of precast segmented tunnel lines for a project. They're looking at about almost 6,500 rings will be needed. There are six segments per ring, from my understanding, at 59 gallons per segment, 354 gallons needed per ring. Then also the kiln runs off a steam-powered generator, so they figure they'll need another 2 million for that, and then about 86,000 for employee consumption brings their total to about 4.3, just over 4.3 million gallons of what they need, which is falls. It's greater than what we can allocate. They requested the full allocation. They've indicated, Kyle, correct, they may consider a compliance order if they get to the end of the year and won't work. But right now they've asked for the full allocation. They've provided justification for that full volume. So my recommendation is approval of the permit in the amount of 3,114,200 gallons per year.
Board, have any questions of Doug?
Put a meter on it.
Yes, sir.
Any public comment on it?
I do not.
Board's heard the general manager's recommendation. What's the board's pleasure?
I'll make a motion we approve the general manager's recommendation.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second as long as the meter's placed on it.
Everything's metered. A motion by Director Reynolds and second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, Hillcrest North Mud of Wise County, Operating Permit Amendment 026W-OP. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is, again, just east of Decatur. Very, it's a little bit different than what we've kind of request. You know, we have an application to amend an approved well to lower the gallons per minute, but ultimately they want to increase it. So let me back up. Back in 2023, we approved this permit, including well 2097. They had originally asked for 130 gallons a minute. It didn't meet spacing. We approved an exception, but we limited it to 79 gallons a minute. Ultimately, they want to get back to that 130 gallons a minute. And so I don't know if you can see it here. So here's the well. The developer has acquired this property to the east. And once it is annexed into the mud district, then the 130 gallons wouldn't be a spacing exception anymore. They want to move the well to a location that would not be a spacing exception. So where the location is currently approved for the well, it still wouldn't meet spacing at 130 gallons a minute. So they're wanting to move it over to a location where it will eventually meet spacing for 130 gallon a minute well. They want to go on and get the well drilled, so they lowered the production capacity down to 30 gallons a minute so they can go on and get the well drilled. And then once they annex the property, then they will submit an application to amend that the GPM backup. So just in a nutshell, they're not asking for any additional volume. They're not asking for anything else. Major alterations of wells on a permit requires a permit amendment, and changing the gallons per minute is a major alteration, technically, and they're moving the location of the well.
Board have any questions?
And I would recommend approving the permit amendment. They're not doing anything right now that's outside district rules. So.
We have any public comment on the chair entertaining a motion to approve the general manager's recommendation?
I'll make a motion, Trey.
Motion by Director Reynolds. Do I hear a second?
I'll say.
Second by Director Lusk. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, Steel Ticking Ranch out of Tulsa, Arizona. Application for exception to spacing requirements, well 23644. Doug?
Yes, sir. This is another kind of strange, odd one. So in January, received an application for new domestic well. These applications were approved. There's actually two applications on related, because these are for a GAC, for a groundwater availability certification. So there's two wells. This is in an area where there's very little water. So those of you that may be aware, you know, our spacing requirements are 150 feet. When you're doing a GAC, you've got to get, you pump one well and you measure drawdown and recovery in an observation well. In order to have a successful GAC, you actually have to have some response in that second well. As you move west in our district where the aquifer thins out, the flow rate sometimes is not high enough to generate a response at 150 or 300 feet. You know, typical is about 300 feet between wells in these studies. They're concerned here that they won't get a response. They're actually proposing to move the well within like 20 feet, which might be a little bit too close. But, you know, that's what the engineer on the project chose. And that's based on in 230, it talks about the minimum spacing between the observation and test well for a study shall be no less than the identified saturated portion of the aquifer. So the identified aquifer thickness multiplied by two. There's only about 10 feet of sands according to the log. So they got 10 feet multiplied by two, and that's where they came up to 20 feet. Of course, the district doesn't weigh in on, you know, how people design their studies, but in order to move the well closer so they can get a response for the groundwater study, they're going to have to get an exception to district rules. And that's what they're proposing. Because this is related to a GAC, I am recommending the exception. However, my recommendation includes that within 30 days after completing the groundwater test, the aquifer test, 30 days after completing a successful aquifer test, at the district's discretion, they either turn the well over to us or sign an agreement for us to measure water levels in the well for the future moving forward, or they plug the well after 30 days after the test. In other words, I'm recommending we approve it just so they can do the test, and then the well can't be used for anything else after that.
They plug the well on the site.
Yeah. That's another story. The original location ended up being too close to a gas line, and they drilled it and plugged it. So that's this red one right here. So.
What do they intend to do with this area?
It's for a groundwater availability certification, right? So, which is required with county development, as far with platting. To complete one of those, you have to complete an aquifer test, which requires two wells, one well pumping, one well where you measure drawdown and recovery from the pumping well. When you get out on the west side of the district where the aquifer is thin and not very productive, sometimes that cone of depression doesn't reach out far enough. So in order to have a successful test, you have to be able to measure you have to be able to observe impact, right? So they've scooted that well in close to make sure they can actually observe some.
Is this in the Cross Timbers or?
This is in the Trinity. And so right on the edge.
Right on the edge of the Trinity then.
Yeah.
Didn't enunciate correctly.
Yeah.
No, what is the. Is this a developer?
Yes.
They're going to put in a.
This is for a platted subdivision.
Okay.
This is the test for a platted subdivision.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
That's the answer I was looking for.
That's around Chico. Where in relation to Chico?
Yeah, it's going west of.
Yeah, it's way out there, man.
This probably won't be the only one we see like this, too.
No, I think we're because it's as they're developing further west, we've seen several where they've pumped and just don't see a response, and that's leads to poor results from the test.
So basically, one well will stay. The other will either be our monitor or not.
Or they'll plug it. Yeah, correct. Correct.
Are they aware of that?
Yes.
Any other questions? We have public comment on. You didn't have anything?
No, sir.
I've heard the general manager's recommendation to approve the request with conditions that. I guess the test well is the one you're talking about, the leader.
I think it's the observation well, correct?
Observation well? Which one?
I think so. I don't know really which one.
You know, one of the wells is going to be either ours or plugged. The other one.
I mean, ultimately, they could decide to flip-flop it, but yes, one of the wells will have to be.
Yeah. I'll make that motion.
Got a motion for Director Micah. Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, Director Lusk?
No, it was Jared.
Oh, Jared? Okay. That didn't.
I'll have it.
Hey. You said it as forcefully as Bob does. That's why I thought it wasn't your softness.
Well, I just wanted to make sure I hit all the minutes at the first and all that stuff. So
I noticed.
Oh, you're scared about something else down there, are you? Any further questions?
Suspicious.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. That ends the public hearings at 1:14. Move on to the regular board meeting. Consent agenda includes non-controversial and customary items. Any board member can obviously pull any of the items or any part of them off to be discussed separately. Consent agenda this month includes approval of minutes from the regular board meeting and public hearing on March 12th, approval of bank statement ending March 31st, and current financial reports, payments of bills and invoices received through April 23rd, reimbursement for expenses incurred on behalf of the district through April 23rd, and approval of requests for extension applications submitted through April 23rd. Unless somebody wants to pull some, I'm chair to entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
No move.
Motion by Director Lusk. I heard him that time.
Second.
From Jason, or Justin, rather. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Board consideration and possible approval of quarterly investment reports with recommendations. Doug?
Yes, sir. It's just our quarterly report. I've got a couple CDs that are coming up in the not too distant future, but nothing really to report on. It's just our standard quarterly report. Requires board approval. Recommendation to approve.
Hear a motion to approve the quarterly investment report.
I'll make that.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second by Director Micah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Discussion regarding the following potential violations of district rules. Take action as necessary. 4A, drilling a well in a different location than authorized. Well ID 23601, drilled by Rob Hankins. Doug?
Yes, sir. 1st of April, district received a GPS amendment form for well ID 23601. And so this well was already approved. There are two wells out there on the site, both of which were approved previously. The other well had been amended in early March, correct, Kyle? And then in April 1st, we received an application to amend this well. On April 2nd, so the next day, district staff went out there to the proposed site that was submitted on April 1st, went right to those coordinates, and there was a well already at that location. Staff emailed Mr. Hankins. He called. Kyle just talked it over with Rob. Ultimately, what I think happened, you know, and Kyle, correct me if I'm wrong, but based on Kyle's conversation and him talking to me, it seems like they had two wells out there. They intended to move, let's just call them well A and well B. They intended to move both of them. Mr. Hankins intended to drill well A first. However, I think the office submitted the application to amend well B first. And that was the one.
His office.
Right. I believe so. Yeah. And then that's the one he went and drilled well A. And then when he went to drill well B, I think it just got some, I think there was just crossways. Ultimately it's the well still meets spacing requirements. Tall district, it was drilled about 145 feet from the approved location. District rules require a well to be drilled within 30 feet of the approved location. It does meet all spacing. You know, I'm not concerned. I recommend my recommendations, a second major violation, a $500 penalty. I'm not concerned with the penalty. It's not a very egregious violation, but I do think it's important to just to get it on record. And I'm happy to answer any questions.
And I believe these wells, both the one they had the amendment to and the one they wanted, were part of a GAC study, were they not?
I believe so.
How did the well driller miss it?
I can't speak. I don't know.
Can you identify yourself for the record, please? Okay.
So, hey, Rob, just so there's people online so they can hear.
Yeah.
So originally there were two wells drilled out there that were 300 feet apart by a different driller. They did a study, and for whatever reason, that wasn't going to be good enough information. I'm not sure what that was. So they came to us to drill two more wells, and originally they had put those wells 300 feet apart, and they had already had those marked as 300 feet apart by the survey people. So we had those approved, and I said, well, technically the way we're supposed to do that is to drill one well and get the information from that well to get the spacing on the second well. And so we amended one well instead of trying to amend both. We're fairly sure they were going to need to be about 150 to 60 feet apart, but to do it properly, we separated them. And so when we went back out there, I actually talked to Kyle Jacob on the phone. When he was out there to flag the well, I had always intended to drill the eastern well first, so we missed that, I guess. But when I talked to him, he said that I told him the western well, so somewhere we were crossed up. But I talked to him for probably 5 or 10 minutes on the phone while he was out there on that location. When we went back out there to drill the most eastern well, which is the well we're talking about, there was a flag where I thought the flag should have been. Now, why the flag was where I thought the flag should have been, I don't know. But it was not on.
Said you didn't put a flag at that location. Yep. Jacob said he did not flag or paint that location. Yep. And the western location were the coordinates that were submitted on the first GPS amendment. And we got, you know, those are forms. And it's one of the reasons we went to requiring a form for GPS amendments instead of just the back and forth. So that the first form that we got a month prior, or almost a full month prior, was the western location. And those are the GPS coordinates that Jacob went to.
And the reason I was totally confused on it is because I went back out there and shot those coordinates to that spot after there was just a wood stake out there. And I went back and shot those western coordinates and sent those in as an amendment.
Right.
And that's when I figured out that it was the other well had been.
And
we were actually trying to re-amend the same one that had basically to the same spot that had already been had been amended.
Okay. Well, ultimately what happened is, you know, I don't know. I wasn't there. I hadn't had conversations. I don't know where the confusion happened, but we received two amendments, one in early March, one on April 1st. The one we received on April 1st, when we went to those exact coordinates, there was a well at that location. And when we received in early March was the western location that Jacob went out to in early March. So, I mean, those forms are, you know what I'm saying? We received those forms.
So you're saying that the GPS, the last amended GPS took you to the well that was already drilled?
Correct. Yes. Correct. The amendment that we received on April 1st took us to the well that was drilled. And that's what I'm saying. I don't know if your office sent in the wrong coordinates each time. But
the reason I was confused is because I only shot that GPS.
Right.
And sent that GPS in. That was the only one I shot that day when we sent the amendment in. So how it was over at the other well, I have no idea.
I don't know, but we literally have the forms that were submitted and, you know, timestamped.
Yeah, they were for sure backwards.
Yeah. And so I don't know how that happened, but we just went to the spots that we received on the applications.
Okay.
So I said, I don't know how that happened, but that's all we know is when we went to the coordinates that we received on April 1st, that there was a well at that location.
Oops.
Yeah. And those coordinates hadn't been approved at any time. You know, you had the previous approved coordinates for that well, and then the coordinates for the western site was approved in early March as an amendment.
Right.
So, but ultimately, I don't know where the slip up happened, but all that we have, I mean, to show is the two forms that we received.
So your thinking is there's a mistake. Somebody did it. We don't want to set a precedent by just looking past it.
Right.
That's it.
Yeah. I mean, multiple times we had a whole hearing a couple of years ago, drillers, we marched in here and hit them with penalties for drilling wells in the wrong location, you know, and it's, you're right. It's, you don't just want to, like, when you find something out, you can't just let it go. It's not an egregious violation. You know, if the board wants to reduce a penalty, I don't have any issue with that.
It's a wide open property and then there are fairly large sizable tracts of land in that subdivision.
Right.
I don't think anything was done here malicious.
I do not think anything was done maliciously. I do not. I think there was things got, you know, miscommunication. I don't know.
Would it all have been approved if the paperwork had been right? Would have all this been approved?
Yes.
Okay.
Correct. Yep.
Yeah. I think that whole subdivision, the smallest tracts, 12 acres, thereabouts.
There may be an 8 in there, but there's also been a 35.
Yeah, because they wouldn't have to plot it. If it was all larger than 10, they wouldn't have to plot it. Because I had that conversation with one of the developers a while back.
This is the second violation.
I'm Mr. Hankins, yeah.
That was a pump size on that one, wasn't it? The board's pleasure. The general manager's recommendation heard from Mr. Hankins.
Not everybody at once.
I don't think the amount of penalty is the issue at this point. It's just we need to get it on the record. So when someone else comes up, they can't point and say, well, you ignored that one, ignore mine.
Right.
What about reducing a fine?
We don't fine. It's penalties. But, yes, we can do that. That's the board's pleasure. He just recommends.
Well, the thing I'm monkeying with is a second violation. It was $500. I don't know.
What's second violation, what's it capped at right now? I read that Friday, but I didn't.
Five.
Is it five?
$5,000.
5,000, right? So,
but it's not an egregious violation, but I really don't believe there's any malicious intent at all. I think it was just miscommunication somewhere.
Seen this several years ago with another person. So,
I'll make a motion we accept the general manager's recommendation.
I'll second that.
What was it?
Motion to approve, accept the general manager's recommendation. Sets the penalty at $500. I have motion and second. Hear any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item B, failure to submit groundwater production reports for Javelin Energy Partners. Good luck, Doug.
So Javelin operates 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 systems in the district. Historically used for oil and gas operations, frac supply back in the day. It's been for the last 3 years or so. It's been an issue to get reports from Javelin. They don't use much water. I think they actually only use a few of their wells, period. But it's been, you can see in 2020, we had to hit them with a 30-day late penalty. 23, both reporting periods. 24 was actually a first major violation for failure to submit an accurate report in a timely manner, which meant that it would have gone past 60 days, which is where we are now. And then second reporting period in 24, it was another 30 days. 25, they got their stuff in. I think it was a little bit late. It was right. It was right at the cutoff where, like, you get us this stuff by this day before you get your penalty fees attached. And this year, as of noon today, we hadn't received, or as of this morning, first thing, we hadn't received anything. We finally heard from somebody at 11 o'clock this morning. Keep in mind, these reports were due on January 31st. It goes even further. So we go back out there. Of course, it says not later than January 31st or July 31st. They must just submit the reports and pay the annual the water use fees. Again, we have not received anything, and they didn't even fully submit today. It was just a... It
wasn't even Javelin. It was the alleged new operator.
Right. So let me get there. So failure to submit accurate report within the periods of a major violation. Also, the fees are outstanding. That's also a major violation. Additionally, it's just worth noting, Chapter 36 of the Water Code, which we operate under, I've put the section here from Chapter 36.123, where it talks about the district's right to enter property. If we're concerned about a violation of district rules, you know, we have the right to enter private property. We went to go check their meters to see if they even produced any water. When we got there, they just told Brandon, you can't come in. I didn't, you know, Brandon's, he's a young guy, new. He didn't argue with them, and I told him that's fine. But I just think it's worth noting that they just wouldn't even let us on the property to go look at the wells.
Is that not also first a major violation?
Yeah, it could be seen as a major violation, yes. Failure to let the district have access to view the well. So today, Forterra, is that how you say it? Formentera reached out to Annabelle to let her know that, I guess, Javelin does not no longer. Right. Okay. So somehow, some way, shape, or form, it was transferred. Of course, Javelin didn't notify us. We don't know when that happened. Technically, that's a violation of District Rules 2 if they didn't transfer the permits within 90 days. That's a permit stipulation. That's on the permit. But we have not received any transfers. This is the first we've heard from these particular folks. My recommendation, what I wrote up, and the board can handle this any way you want. We've had multiple penalties, but only one previous time that we brought it up here and found that they're in violation for not submitting reports. And that was for Javelin as a whole, right? For each system, we didn't break it up, but it's Jim as a whole, but it was a first major for all the systems. I'm recommending a second, and y'all can combine these back together unless if you want, but taking it to towards the extreme just because of the years of headaches that they've caused. Breaking one up, these up and recommending a second and a third for major violation for each of the seven systems. The second major for, failure to submit the groundwater use fees and the third major for, failure to submit the reports. And I'm recommending $1,000 penalty with the first one and a $5,000 penalty $1,000 penalty for the second major. $5,000 for the third major, with some other stuff in there. They've got to submit the reports. They're going to pay three times the water use fee or $25, whichever is greater. Some of them, they may have pumped zero, a requirement to submit the estimates to me or to my satisfaction. And then a requirement for them to enter into an agreement for the measuring of water levels for each well in each system.
Now, is that times seven?
Yep. Times seven. One, basically, I'm recommending a violations for each, breaking it up for each system.
What's the total amount?
Seven times six.
42.
Yeah. So it's a lot. So, I mean, I just threw out there, this is like the max that I think we should hit these guys with. If y'all want to pull it back, that's up to y'all.
I have some concern, and I couldn't really hear what Annabelle was saying.
Uh-huh.
Do we have the right entity if we're finding an entity?
Here's a question for Brian. In the district's eyes, we do, because they didn't transfer the wells, and Javelin is still responsible for those wells and those reports.
Okay, but they can be responsible per our rules, mm-hmm. but if they are not an active entity.
Right.
I mean, it's
right. Right. Who are you going to go? Who's?
We've got nothing other than a nice piece of paper.
Right.
So I think we need to make sure that if Javelin has conveyed to whatever or whatever's conveyed to
Formentera?
Excuse me?
Formentera.
Formentera.
I was confirming with Annabelle.
Well, what is Formentera? Is it an LLC? Is it a what?
Right.
Is it a part?
This is my first hearing of that entity ever. So, and I did not have time to look into it.
It may be a little premature. I don't have a problem with the significant hit.
Uh-huh.
But I want to make sure we're hitting the right entity,
right,
that will care whether or not they pay.
Right.
You know, what's the name of the place?
Formentera.
Formentera. If Formentera bought out Javelin,
mm-hmm.
okay, what is their responsibility for their obligations? We don't know.
Right.
We don't know what this new entity is. I think we need to do some homework. Again, I don't have a problem with the penalty.
Right.
With right. the assessment.
Right. Things got thrown into a confusion 2 hours before our meeting started. Because up until 2 hours before our meeting started, we didn't know anything other than Javelin still owned and operated it. It was just brought to our attention at 11 o'clock today that Formentera is now operating that. So we hadn't had time to do any homework. I mean, I've been scrambling, getting ready for boards, so I didn't have time to look up, you know, Formentera with the Secretary of State, see what kind of, you know, if they're an LLC, what kind of entity they are. Ultimately, I think, you know, I don't know if Javelin is still exist, if they're still part of Crescent, if Crescent in. Right. Yeah. Okay. And that's Permian Basin too.
And Formentera operating, I just look, handles
right
basins.
And stuff. And I think there's somebody with Formentera. Say, didn't you say Caden?
Yes.
No. Formentera. Oh, the. Got it.
Just a quick look online shows Javelin Energy Partners permanently closed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes.
But getting anything if they're permanently closed.
Right. It's going to be impossible. So, Brian, you have any thoughts?
Well, we put the obligations for transferring the well, at least transferring the ownership of the wells on both the transferor and the transferee, so we can go after either one of them. But typically speaking, if they've inherited, I mean, we don't know because when they do transfer the permits, if they haven't transferred the permits, they have no right to operate the wells.
Correct.
Because they have no permits.
Correct.
When they do want to transfer the permits, they're going to have to settle up with us on everything that the prior owner owed to this district. So
correct.
They're going to inherit it one way or the other.
Right.
So big question is, what do we make them inherit?
Do we have the ability to suspend the permits until this is cleared up?
We do, but we'd need to notice that, I think.
Yeah, it's not on the agenda that way, but.
Can we pump for a month and talk to the new people? Or do you want to get them in there?
You ready for a motion?
Not quite.
It's up to you. What do you think? Oil and gas.
Yeah, it's oil and gas. These are our oil and gas assets.
You got a motion in mind? Go ahead.
Well, to kind of to bring it somewhere, I'm going to move that we accept the general manager's recommendation.
Okay. And then you're going to figure out who you're going to serve with the notice of.
Mm-hmm. We've got contacts now.
Yeah.
As of 11 o'clock today.
You got an email, I hope. Okay, so
that's probably good leverage for Doug and a settlement. All we're offering is a settlement, right?
Correct.
I don't have to take the settlement, but
that's my thing.
Maybe we get a little more attention out of them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and gets them to the table to clear up the other party, the previous party's failures.
Mm-hmm.
Do we need to make a time limit in terms of paying the settlement?
Well, or rephrase it. How long is the settlement offer good?
Right.
Is there a time limit on how long the settlement offer is good? Because we have bigger sticks.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm asking you. You're making the motion.
Usually leave that to you.
We do usually leave that to my discretion.
Yeah, that's why I'd like
okay.
to gives me,
I'd like to leave it like his Rex. Because, I mean, I see it as leverage. I don't see it right. happening, but I see it as leverage.
Right. Right.
So who is the penalty?
So as Brian said, we would hit the penalty would go to the current permit holder, which is Javelin.
Yeah. They've got the
where we can actually why that matters is because Javelin has we issue those penalties, the violations to Javelin. The wells and permits still have to be transferred. We don't have to transfer them until they've satisfied those violations.
Do we owe any obligation to put the new company on notice?
Oh, that's who I'm going to reach out to.
But before we make a decision.
We do not, and Brian, correct me if I'm wrong, but we're offering a settlement. right?
A settlement to the old folks who are right. now defunct. So if they're defunct, they're probably not going to take the settlement. But right. we're going to tell the new folks, you can't operate the wells until you transfer ownership of the system. Right. We have to prove that transfer of ownership, and we're not going to prove that transfer of ownership until we're made whole. We have our production reports and our fees that are overdue plus whatever stuff. And so I think we'll be back before the board next month, probably abandoning this settlement offer and coming up with a new settlement offer for the new folks who are now going to be responsive. But I think going ahead and taking an action against the current permittee who has the duty, regardless of their legal status, is probably the best way to go.
What about the water being used illegally now?
Yeah, we're telling them they can't operate anymore until they get it transferred.
Well, that's basically what I was asking, Mac.
So are we going to go ahead and monitor that?
By monitor, what do you mean?
Because I think we use monitor to mean something different than what I think you're saying.
I just want to make sure. In other words, they're not supposed to get any water out of it.
Correct.
And our guys drive by there, and there's a truck or whatever else getting the water out.
Correct. Well, we're going to go back out there immediately and go get meter reading pictures.
That's where I'm coming from.
And we'll know if they pump any more after that.
That way we know what's been used from now.
Correct.
Whenever it's transferred.
Yeah, no, that'll happen immediately.
Can I get a second to Bob's motion?
Well, we're putting these in amendments to the motion.
No, we haven't amended anything yet.
We're not a second yet.
I haven't gotten a second yet.
I'll second it.
Okay. Justin's seconded. You say you're going to send staff out to get meter readings.
Yeah, so what I'll do is.
What's that procedure when they say no? Do you go get a deputy sheriff?
Yeah, that's probably what I'll do.
Okay.
I doubt they'll say no again.
But Doug, just so I'm clear, we're doing this to force the hand for you to be able to go to this new company, yep. get everything back in line, and then you'll come back, recommend how we're going to go forward from there, correct?
Okay. Correct. It gives me leverage to negotiate with them.
Good.
Right? And if they don't negotiate, then we go forward, right?
Good.
That's why I made the motion.
Yeah. Yes, sir. That's why I seconded it.
Yeah. Attaboy.
And
so you'll contact them, let them know they...
Yeah. So I'll
advise will not to produce right
tomorrow
now.
Morning. We'll respond with basically here's a settlement notice of violation, settlement offer related to Javelin. And by the way, if you're operating these, you can't pump another drop of water out of these wells because you haven't transferred them. Please submit transfers. Also, we will not approve the transfers until these violations are settled up. If you want to visit about this, give me a call and we can have a meeting. And then likely I'll be back here next month with a update.
So giving you the stick to get some, or the pry bar to get things moving. It's probably a better description. Any more questions?
I think that's clarified.
If not, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries. Item C, pumping in excess of authorized amount. First violation for pumping for 5 of Aqua Systems.
Yeah, sir. It's that time of year. So we've gone through, we've received all the reports except Javelin. We've gone through and done our check to see if how pumping compared to the permits. And we've got, what was it, 24 was a total, I think, 23? Total, one of them came off, I think, 23 total systems that overpumped. The first violations, we've got, I'm just going to read them if you want me to, Tracy, just the system ID.
Yeah, the system IDs.
So first violations of pumping in excess of authorized amount, Aqua Texas system 007W015P024P. Azel ISD, system 025P, BKV Barnett, system 069W, Brown Southgate Glen, system 184P, Custom Water, system 006M, Eagle Ridge Mud of Parker County, system 198P, Freisinger Investments LLC, system 202P, Raycar LLC, system 170P, Slidell Water Supply, system 021W, Texas Water Utilities Systems 049H 056P, Tim Fleet FG Alito System 137P, and WW Olympus Willow Park, System 164P. Those are the first time over pumpers. Second time over pumpers, Aqua Texas, System 016P, System 024P, CSWR, System 052P, 900 Cinnamon Drive Partners, System 141P. And three times, the third over pump, CSWR, System 064P, Lord's Moss, System 184W, and New Progress Water, System 046W. So these last three, it's important to note that they have now overpumped their permit 3 years in a row. It's important to note that although there is no obligation for the district to do so, every year after the first reporting period, we go through and do a check, and we send an email to every system that pumped 40% of their permit in the first 6 months. Typically a 60-40 split for first 6 months versus second 6 months. That's about normal. Every one of these entities except Azle ISD and WW Olympus received that notice and just chose not to do anything. Didn't contact the district. So all of these except those two received notice that they'd pumped 40% of their permit halfway through the year, and they chose not to reach out to the district to increase their permit volume or talk to us. Those two were slightly below 40%, so they didn't get noticed. So I just want to point out that it's not, you know, we let people know halfway through the year where they are, if they're not, in case they're not following their own records. So
how many of these have got permit volumes per? Most of them?
I think most of them do. I haven't gone through, and I don't know if we've gone through and looked, but I'm sure.
Nobody's maxed that got their historic right. permit but, is, well, does not exceed what they're allowed.
Right. Well, we didn't even go in and look because none of them reached out to even inquire about that. You know what I'm saying? Because all they have to do is pick up the phone and inquire. And then we'd say, yeah, you got some left. File an application. But you can lead a horse to water. So my recommendation is for, in line with district rules, for those that have overpumped the first time, our enabling legislation gives us some special ability. If you're curious about it, Brian, I can tell you more about it, but we have the right to issue a disincentive fee for those that overpump permits. So for the first time overpumpers, I'm recommending a disincentive fee of up to equal to three times the groundwater use fee for the volume that was overpumped, and a settlement with a civil penalty of $100. That's for the first time overpumpers.
As opposed to what's our limit on the civil penalty for first violation?
$1,000. Second time overpumpers, a disincentive fee equal to 10 times the volume that they overpumped, and a civil penalty of $500. And then for the third time, disincentive fee of 10 times the volume overpumped, and that should be $1,000 right here. Offer a civil penalty of $1,000, which is what I have here. And I'm happy to take any questions.
With the exceptions of the two that reached out to you, none of them come in to see about an operating permit.
No.
Some of them are going to have to be in compliance order positions.
Could be. We haven't looked into any and all of them to see if there's anything left, but I would assume most of them have something left under an operating permit.
I know one of them had three times what their operating permit was. They already had historic and operating on top of it and exceeded the operating amount by three times. At some point,
So obviously,
I'm just wondering if we need a little more incentive to them to come in here and talk to us.
Yeah, so obviously this is going to happen again.
Correct.
Again and again. So where do we go from there?
So at the fourth time to overpump, district rules state that we file suit for an injunction.
I mean, there's some of those. I mean, you're talking, I mean, over 8-9 million gallons.
Right. Right.
But yeah, it'll become so painful for them at some point that they'll stop, because every violation ratchets up. And that's one of the things we're talking about in amendments, and it's getting those formulas straight. But yeah, I think we've got them straight.
Dustin, it's important to note, many of these folks can get a larger allocation if they just submit an application. They just chose not to.
My concern is those that have no allocation,
right?
And they're going over, and now
they're going to figure something out.
Now they're basically impacting their neighbors,
right? They're going to figure something out.
And how many of these are actually selling water?
Almost every one of them is a public water system. So all three of these are PWS. Lord's Moss is a naturist resort.
Okay.
These are okay. A and B are both public water supply systems. 900 Cinnamon Drive Partners. That's they fill a pond. They're filling a pond. Aqua, I mean, obviously public water supply. School. BKV, that's for frack water. Custom Water, Eagle Ridge, those are public water systems. Freisinger is that public water supply. Kind of, sort of.
It's first and water.
Yeah.
So. Now it's custom water.
But yeah, these are all pretty much public water systems.
So their usage is only going to go up.
Possibly.
Okay.
Sidebar question. Has Custom Water talked to you about increasing their CCN?
Custom Water hadn't talked to us about anything.
Mainly because little Eddie passed away last year. I think they're serving a smaller subdivision out east of town.
Won't they get another fee assessment next month if they don't apply?
We do. This is an annual.
Yeah, this is annual.
This is an annual report.
This is an annual check.
Have we had any four-year violators yet?
Nope.
We're on our way.
Right.
When you're out.
I mean, it's worth noting for the three-year violators. I know New Progress, we've actually had meetings scheduled with them, and they didn't to talk about an operating permit, and they just didn't come in, and then they never rescheduled the meeting.
You kind of let them off easy.
Yeah. Well, it's based on what they overpumped, which wasn't a lot, but I mean.
The disincentive is based on the overage.
Right.
The civil penalty is where there's a little more oomph available.
Right.
Disincentive fee is 66 cents.
No.
No. For the first violators, it is. For the second, it's $2.20 for what's over, just for their overage.
Again, I'm going to ask the question, once we submit this in, we're going to give them a time limit to pay the fee.
Yeah, usually these, I give them like 60 days to accept the settlement offer.
I just want it on record.
Yeah.
And for the board, this is something we are going to have to take closer and closer attention to, because we are going to have some entities tap out of what their available allotment is. So. This may not be the case yet, but we're a year or two into it, away from it. For the general manager's recommendation, I don't believe we have not had a motion.
I make a motion to accept the general manager's recommendation with the understanding that each individual will be given a time limit on their workout. An acceptable agreement with the general manager. I don't want it to extend unreasonably.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Second from Justin.
Jared? You're close.
You're both about the same volume.
Oh, okay.
This is why Doug and I had a conversation about board.
Different ears.
Table set up.
The reason why we need microphones, so we can hear everything.
Yeah. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Item 5, discussion regarding request to locate well ID 23712, a replacement well more than 100 yards from the well being replaced, and take necessary action. Doug?
Yes, sir. Got an application in February for a new well. I guess it wasn't a replacement well at the time. A new well out in Poolville area. District staff went out there. It was marked as livestock. We found out when we got there it was for a commercial facility, a little facility they raise and sell minnows. And district staff reached out because this is a second well, which takes the capacity up over 17, which makes it a non-exempt system. Kyle met with them, and in discussing that, he came to realize that they were really just trying to replace the existing well. And there were some water quality issues, probably some, based on the pictures that Kyle saw, some fungus growing down the well that had been giving them a problem for a while. So the reason they're wanting to move it further away is just to get away of any potential issues in the ground that there may be. So it is, here's the existing well. Here's the proposed location. It's about 158 feet away. District rules state that, you know, a replacement well should be within 50 feet up to 100 feet, approvable by me. Anything over 100 feet away requires board action. The location still meets all district spacing requirements. And because it meets spacing, all of our spacing requirements, I'd recommend to approve the placement of well ID 23712 at a location greater than 100 feet from the well being replaced. Happy to answer any questions.
Why would a well have fungus in it?
So it resembled a fungus that we saw years ago, a type of filamentous fungus, basically known as the sewage fungus. This is what it looked like. Obviously, you know, without looking at it under a microscope and everything, you know, it's not my area of expertise, but it certainly looked like that. And whenever, you know, they described the age of the wells and everything like that, I mean, those wells were drilled back in the 80s. It's very likely they were probably completed almost all the way to the surface. I mean, if you have any septic or runoff or anything getting down there, you could cause that, you know, to be an issue in the well. Obviously, whenever they're talking about this new well, you know, they're that neighbor to the south that had a well that was completed at a similar depth but did not have that issue. I pointed out that it was likely because there was a plug in the well to keep that water from up top from getting down in there. So I kind of advised them that they should probably take a look at that and complete it similarly if they're concerned about that.
Yeah, and to give you a little bit more information, about was about 3 years ago, we had a out in Southwest Parker County, somebody call and send us some pictures, and we actually went and took some samples off the pump when they pulled the pump and looked similar to this stuff, and took it to lab at Tarleton, and biology professor looked at it and was like, yeah, it's a filamentous fungus, probably sewage fungus. Sewage fungus requires the presence of organic material to grow. Basically something's getting down in the well. There's a reason they call it sewage fungus, right? Because of what it eats. The one in Parker County just so happened to be in an area with a lot of limestone at the surface. See, Jacob's shaking his head. You went out there, didn't you? There's a lot of limestone at the surface. The spray head for the septic was not too far away and uphill. Probably getting into that well. But yeah, anyway, my recommendation is approval of this, just to get away from that existing well.
They're about as far away as they can get on that piece of property, aren't they?
They are.
Per the general manager's recommendation.
I'll make a motion.
Motion by Director Berkeley. Do I hear a second?
I'll second it.
Second by Justin. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. Doug, anything on your general manager's report?
There's a couple things. So both GMA 8 and GMA 6 have taken action to adopt proposed DFCs. I kind of wrote up about it in my GM report. If you're interested, take a read that, and you can call me if you want to talk. But ultimately, because now we've adopted proposed DFCs, at some point in time, Brian, in the near future, we'll have to hold a hearing on the proposed DFCs. And then report any feedback, any comments we receive back to the GMAs. I'll be scheduling those hearings in the near future. Didn't meet. You want me to talk about Jack County Commissioner's Court?
You can if you want to.
Yeah. So I was at Jack County Commissioner's Court the other day. Representative Spiller had reached out, concerned about the county Star West. Of course, he represents Jack County, lives in Jack County. He had them put an item on their commissioner's court to discuss potentially seeking or seeing if they could join our district. There's been discussions with Clay County and possibly Palo Pinto County as well. Representative Spiller seems pretty interested in it. And Jack County Commissioner's Court went really well. Representative Spiller talked for about 10, 15 minutes. Then I got up there and talked. He asked me to come up and talk. And then the county judge opened it up so that the people there in the audience could ask questions. And I took questions for about an hour. The county judge asked people in the audience, which there's probably 30 or so people there, and they all were pretty supportive of the concept. We'll be meeting with Clay County folks in the Monday, with Representative Spiller and Representative Frank will be there, I believe. So I just want to let y'all know about that. There is a big push, or there's actually some discussion, about what are called the white areas. So the unprotected counties, the counties in the state with no GCD. And I think, you know, with a lot of the commercial industrial development going on in some areas, there's people are starting to see that they kind of might want a GCD in their county. So just FYI, I want to bring that to y'all's attention. I think that's all. Is there anything else in my report?
We didn't have any budget amendments, did we?
No. We do not.
Brian, you have anything at this point?
No. I had item 7 before you get to general managers.
Oh.
Or before general counsel.
Yes. Update on developments and requirements for hydrogeological reports related to high volume permits.
Yep. Just wanted to give you guys a heads up. I think some of you guys may be interested in getting into the weeds with us. In February, the board adopted a resolution requiring groundwater studies for high volume permits, and then directed me to develop requirements for you guys to consider and adopt prior to May 31. I sent a draft out to you. Jill and Kyle and Jay, and then Jacob's been helping them, working really hard on those requirements. They're doing some other stuff too, working on some that's kind of goes hand in hand with this. But we've got a draft out there for you guys to look at. And I'll have it for y'all's consideration next month. Jared, I thought maybe you, I don't know if Jason or Shannon might want to really kind of dig into it. I'll reach out and see if y'all, maybe we could get a meeting with some of you guys to sit down and kind of get y'all's thoughts. But we've got a rough draft put together, and then we're going to go from there.
And we likely need to adopt that next month, because if it's takes a break after the 31st, unless we extend that period.
Correct.
You could have some things filed.
Yep. That's all I have on the mind.
I show our next meeting is on the 21st.
Wait, do you have Brian? Now it's Brian's turn. You have anything?
I thought he said he didn't have anything at this point.
I didn't. I wasn't listening to him.
We do have one additional item for the agenda of next month, and just a minor one, but Donna made a suggestion we put on our agenda next month to request TxDOT to look into putting a left turn lane coming into our driveway, similar to what's just down the road, and or notices that there's turning traffic before you top that hill.
And I'll look in, and I'll reach out to Don, and I'll work with Brian to get the good language, and we'll reach out to some other folks to see what exactly would be best received. So,
anything else?
Currently, our meeting is May 21.
Correct,
I believe, and I'm not going to ask you guys to change it. But if that didn't work for any of you guys, my feelings wouldn't be hurt.
What's your birthday again?
I love it
too.
Another anniversary. Cool. It's my daughter's last day of kindergarten.
Last day of kindergarten.
Early, isn't it? May 21.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And before I close, Mr. Bennett, did you want to say anything?
And Brian's not going to be available on the 21st either. His son's graduating high school that night.
Yeah.
So.
And I nearly overlooked you. I'm sorry. You didn't mark a particular item, so that's it didn't ring a bell with me.
I just wanted to. I've been coming to these meetings stuff, and I know y'all probably don't hear this enough. I want to thank y'all for the activity y'all been doing down in Hood County, especially Kyle and Doug showing up to the commissioners' meeting. Been able to tell some of these people, you know, what the data center's power plant's going to do to Hood County and resources stuff. I really appreciate y'all looking after our resources.
Thank you.
Thanks, ma'am.
If nothing else, I will adjourn the open.
We can do it after that.
Brian, how do I handle this?
I think we're adjourning the board meeting. Don't we have a separately posted?
Yeah, we have it separately posted. Okay. Now we'll adjourn this board meeting at this time at 2:06. We'll convene in just a short minute and do our thing. Let everybody run to the restroom or whatever. Thank you, everyone, for being here. Our next agenda is straight workshopping with the executive session with the attorney.
Do you want to go on and open that, Tracy?
Yeah, let's go back find my agenda.
Sorry, it's at the bottom of the agenda.
Yeah.
We're going to do it in here or we're going to do it in there.
No. But you guys need to sit in here so we can take roll hit. Roll count.
We're going to have to do this separately, aren't we?
What?
Mr. Lusk, call roll again, please, sir.
Yep.
Justin Bradley.
Here.
Jared Reynolds.
Here.
Bob Lusk. Here. Shannon Nave.
Here.
Tracy Messler.
Here.
Mike Berkley.
Here.
Don Micah.
Here.
Jason Flint.
We do have a quorum. Do we have any public comment under this point?
No, sir.
At this point, I'm going to take into a closed executive session. Board will recess into a closed executive session under Section 551.071 Texas Government Code. Consult the district legal counsel on development of proposed amendments to the district rules. This agenda item is being specifically posted as a closed session for the benefit and convenience of the public. Because it is anticipated the vast majority of the work session will be held in closed session, the board reserves the right, however, to go into a lawful closed session in the future to any item on any board agenda without specifically posting that individual agenda item as one designated for a closed session. And the public should not develop an expectation that closed session agenda items will be specifically posted as such, as the need for closed sessions often arises unexpectedly. Now, shall we go in there at 2:08? So we're back in open session at 5:55. Do we have any action out of our meeting?
No decision.
There is no action. No decision to be made at this point. Show the meeting is adjourned at 5:56. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay.
I know we got sidetracked on a couple of things, but we needed to.
Yeah.